Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hallelujah. 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 Absolutely. Hey, while you're right there, just reach for your Bible. Remain standing. Reach for your Bible. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. We're going to dive right in. Somebody say, why we got to stand up? I believe the only way you can dive into anything is from a standing position. You can't dive into anything from a seated position. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to just jump right in. Verse 15. You're going to recognize this story. It says, now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But, everybody say but. But if you do not worship, it will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and away we go. No, I'm just kidding. And Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. I love that line right there because there's some smack talk going on right there in the word. Anybody, y'all like smack talk? You know, as long as you keep it holy. If it's coming straight from the word, that's holy smack talk right there. He said, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save. Everybody say able. He's able to save us from it, and he will, everybody say he will, rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Verse 19, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. You ever had somebody whose attitude changed towards you? I'm saying like everything was cool while you did what they wanted you to do. But then when you began to do what God's telling you to do, their attitude changed. But it's funny, the reason people don't like you, the reason things change in their attitude towards you is because they can't control you. See, when you yield yourself to Christ, he's in control and he's in charge. And then when that changes from how it used to be, when it was always what you wanted to do, then people don't like you anymore because they can't control you. They can't manipulate you because you're being held to a higher standard and a higher power. His name is Jesus Christ. Okay, here we go. Keep on going. He ordered the furnace 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. God, I thank you for your word tonight, for the few moments that we have. God, I ask that your word would be revealed to us. God, that we would learn more about you, more about your character, more about how you want us to live our lives here on this earth. God, may we see you more clearly tonight. And may after the challenging, inspiring word of God tonight, God, may it challenge us and inspire us to be everything that you've called us to be. And may we see you much more clear tonight. More of you, less of us. In Jesus' name, and everybody in the house said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, tonight I want to speak to you for just a few moments from the subject, even if. Everybody say, even if. And tonight, I came to challenge you tonight. Yeah, I want to encourage. I believe tonight's going to be an encouraging message, but I want to challenge you, and I want us to look at our commitment to Jesus. In our society, commitment has, unfortunately, taken a back seat. We see it in our jobs. We see it in our family. We see a lack of commitment in marriages. And unfortunately, we see a lack of commitment in the church. I like to look at it this way. Whenever you see lack in anything, like maybe you're going down the road and you see somebody who their yard used to stay mowed and now it doesn't, it's a lack of commitment. Maybe it's the city. Maybe not in Chiefland, but maybe another city. Okay, because I'm like, don't be yanking on our city. I'm not. I live here too. Okay, but maybe it's somewhere else, and you're used to things being manicured and kept up. But in another place, it's not like that. Well, what happened? It's a lack of commitment. Or maybe it wasn't even that there was ever a lack of commitment. Maybe the standard just was never set, so there's nothing for them to reach towards. So somebody say, but oh, no, we're committed. Yeah, we're committed right up until commitment meets inconvenience. Commitment is something that has become undervalued in today's society. Commitment. Just nudge your neighbor and go, I just didn't come for all this tonight. I'm just saying. So let me ask you this. How many like movies tonight? We'll just keep on moving. I felt like I was pushing loose. How many like movies? How many would say that movies is a hobby? Anybody like it's like an every week thing? For me, it used to be a hobby. Before Amy, when I was real young and had hair, there's a place called Movie Gallery. Matter of fact, it was Blockbuster. Some of the young people are probably like, Blockbuster? What's that? Blockbuster. Siri, show me a movie. I mean, they don't even know what it was like to go to a movie theater, place where you rent movies and stay for about an hour and a half so you can go ahead on a Friday night, so you can go ahead and just knock out all like six movies. There's the three for Friday night, here's the three for Saturday, and here's some more for Sunday. You know what I'm talking about? Movies, I love movies. Movies have the ability to captivate you and pull you into a time period. What am I talking about? In 1985, there was a movie called Back to the Future. Dude, we thought that was crazy. 2015? Like, dear God, are you even, you know, back then we were preaching messages about the end is near and Jesus is coming. Oh, and he is. But back then we were like, we probably won't ever see 2015. But then when we get to 2015 and we go back and watch 1985, Back to the Future. Do y'all remember how you felt when you saw some of the kicks and the jeans and the stuff that he had on and the blue jean jackets that's back in style stuff? I mean, just it's crazy how you'll watch those things and it sucks you right back in, pulls you back in. Michael J. Fox, man, I tell you what, I love that movie. Another show that you probably heard me say a lot is the TV show Lost. The TV show Lost. We went ahead and we never watched it when it came out on TV, but we were kind of hoaxed into watching it and got hooked. You ever been hoaxed into something and then got hooked? We got hooked. That is a six-year running. We have watched that thing every year for the past 4 years. We've watched it four times already. Four times. I mean, it'd be like cleared off a Sunday afternoon. We go home, eat sandwiches after church, and we sit down, close all the curtains, turn the air down, pop the popcorn, and we glued to the TV. Why? It became a part of who we were. And then when we got to the end, and I ain't gonna spoil it, but whatever really happened, we were like, we gotta start it all over. Like, we didn't even know what to do with ourselves because that became so much a part of our life. I mean, you can watch TV shows and movies so much. That you memorize the lines of what they say. Y'all, how many Rocky Balboa fans? Rocky Balboa? Y'all remember that scene at the very, very end? I think it was Rocky II when he was like half the eye was shut and he's standing there with blood gushing. He's got that thing and he's thanking everybody standing in the ring. And what's he say? Yo, Adrian! Yo, Adrian! I did it! Like crazy. Oh, what about this one? Titanic. It was like one of the my most favorite movies of all times. I got some pretty funny, but there's some lines in that movie. Y'all remember the one where Jack Dawson. Y'all remember Jack Dawson? The ship goes down. Sorry to burst your bubble. The ship goes down, splits in half, and they're out there, and she's on that wooden piece of whatever, and he's in this cold water looking blue like a Smurf, and they're holding hands, and he says, promise me that you'll survive and never let go of the promise. Promise me that you'll never give up. And then, of course, he freezes in the water, and he lets go, and what's she say? Her most famous line of the movie, what's she say? Jack, I'll never let go. I'll never let go. And then what she say? Jack, come back. I mean, it gets me every time. I mean, if I just go and watch that clip on YouTube, man, the tears. Jack, come back. My girls trip out on me because my most famous line of that movie, it's not even probably famous, but I think it is the corniest portion. Y'all are like, what in the world has it got to do with the Bible? I'm working on that. But it's when the ship is still in the water and they've already hit the iceberg and they're putting people on the ships, the little boats. And Rose gets in that one. And she starts going down and he's up there and she's crying. And all of a sudden she gets almost down to the last thing and she jumps back on. And he's like, what? And they run down and they meet. And all he does is, you're so stupid, Rose. Rose, you're so stupid. I like, that's the most funniest part of the movie. If there can be a comedy portion of that movie, that is hilarious. You're so stupid, Rose, but I'm going to kiss you anyway. See how much the lines in a movie can get embedded into your... My girls wished I would forget that part of the movie because it pops up in the most crazy, crazy times. But in life, every great story, typically the most famous lines of those movies and in real life, the most famous lines normally happen when they're under pressure. Think about it. The most famous lines in movies, the most famous, whether it's somebody in government, the most famous lines normally happen when they're under pressure. Think about Prime Minister Winston Churchill in World War II, when Great Britain was being attacked. His most famous speech, even though he had a lot of speeches, one of his most famous speeches that we quote a lot in church is, never, 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 never give in. Never give up. My version is, can't stop, won't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. People still quote him today. Winston Churchill, why? Because in his most greatest adversity, something came out of him. Jesus, my hero, one of the most famous lines in the scripture, after God sent him here and he performed miracles, he's on the cross and they've crucified him, they put nails in his wrists and in his feet. What's he say? It is finished. When did it happen? When he was under his most pressure. My question for you is, when you get pressed, when you're facing adversity, what's coming out of you? I've asked you this a couple weeks ago. What story are you writing? What story are you writing? In your greatest moments of adversity, is the best coming out of you? Just you self-evaluate. When you are facing those stressful moments in life, whether it's with your spouse or your job, whatever it is the best coming out of you, or is the worst coming out of you? In Daniel, we just read one of the greatest stories ever. It's one of my favorites from Vacation Bible School. Three Hebrew boys face real adversity. That, like, they're facing real stuff. Not somebody's talking about them on Facebook. No. It's like life or death stuff. They faced real adversity. But in the moment, some of the most famous words came out of their mouth. And we're going to look at those tonight. I'm going to give you two of them tonight, and we're going to cash in next week on the big one. But here they are. They're Jewish kids living in Israel. And Babylon, which is a godless superpower, conquers Israel. And these boys are taken as slaves, but they're living in a godless world. But they were taken into the king's court. Even though they were in a godless situation, God's favor was still on them. I don't know if you've ever been there in life, like you're facing crazy stuff, but you can identify that God's favor is still on your life. Some of y'all are like, I'm in a crisis right now, and it don't feel like God's favor is on me. Well, I'll go back to last week's message. What kind of room are you making for him to come into? God, I need you! But he has no room to come in and even help you at all, because you've got it filled up with all kinds of relationships, all kinds of friendships, all kinds of music, all kinds of movies, all kinds of stuff. There is no room for him. There's no room for him. They became advisors to the king. Then this day happens. The king builds a statue. It's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And they tell the people, when the music's played, we just read this, when the music is played, everybody must worship this statue. Well, that wasn't what was up with these three boys. Now I'll break it down to where we are today. When we come into worship, do we worship God? Or when we come in here, Forward Church, or are we worshiping God? Are we magnifying our problems? Are we worried about our spouse just cussed us out in the parking lot? Now we got to come in and act like, oh, y'all think we didn't see that on that camera? Oh, y'all didn't know we had cameras in the parking lot? See, y'all got to do better. Snatching your kids up. Come on, we got to go to kids' church. We got to go listen to that preacher. No, when we come in here, is our mind focused on God, Or is our mind focused on our problems? That doesn't mean you ignore the problem. That just means, my God, we saw it on the video. My God is much bigger than the problem or the situation I'm going through. But you don't understand. The doctor has given my problem or diagnosed my situation and given it a name. I can give you a name that's much greater and holds more weight than anything the doctor can write on his pad. And his name is Jesus. Where is our focus? Where is our focus? These words, the most famous words, are some of the most practical that we can apply to our faith. It's what our faith should look like every day. I'm trying to break this down in the most practical way that you can go, how do I apply what those boys said, those teenage boys, how do I apply that to what I'm going through? We're going to see. They said these words, our God can save us. Everybody say can. And our God will. Everybody say will. Our God will save us. But, everybody say but. I love it when a but comes in. But even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. He can, he's able. He will, he's willing. But if he doesn't, we won't bow down. See, where's your faith tonight? Is it based on conditions? Oh, I'll go to church and worship when all my bills are paid and everything's good. Or I'm gonna go to church when all my kids are straightened up. Y'all let me know how you work that out. Because Weber needs to know. I still got one in the house. I need to know how y'all got your kids whipped into shape. We'll exchange notes later. But is your faith based on conditions? Is your faith based on the temperature in the room? How is your faith? This is a beautiful description of what your faith should look like every day. Every day. And this is where we're going to land tonight. This is where we're going to land for just the next few moments. How many with me? Just lean in with me, okay? When you find yourself in pressure, when you find yourself in adversity, what comes out of you? What's your anthem? I hope your anthem is that my God can save us. What are we saying? That our God is able. This is point number one tonight. I'm going to give you two, and then we're going to go home. Point number one, you can write this down. God can save us. You need to put that on your refrigerator. Put that as a screensaver on your phone. So every time life happens, and it will, you may be going through a life situation right now, so that you can just pass by your refrigerator and go, but God can. Because the enemy's always putting 3D pictures of what you're going through in life and making you feel worse than it really is. And what we need to know is God can. I hope you know tonight that you serve a God who is able. He is able. Some people get saved and forget how able God is. Like, how many had bad stories, like bad testimonies? I'm not going to do like, you know, Oprah Winfrey and put the mic in your hand and get you to share with us how bad it was. But how many had a bad testimony? Like, you did some crazy stuff. I got both mine up, okay? I'm crazy stuff. It's amazing how we're blown away how God, wow, he miraculously delivered me from that and he set my feet on a rock. But then when we go through some trouble, we forget exactly how able he was. Look, God didn't change. You may turn off, you know, Perfect Street and get into a rocky road, but God is still God and he'll get you through just like he pulled you out of that and put your feet on a firm foundation. He's still God and he can and will save us. Your God is big. Your God is big. Problems. Man, I got problems, Pastor Bradley. I got problems. Yeah, but God is bigger. I hope you hear that. When tomorrow morning you wake up and you still got a stack of whatever that you got to deal with and all this pressure and all these things. But God is bigger. God is bigger. His name is higher. Man, when all hell is coming against you and you got all this stuff going on, just remember the name of Jesus. If you can't say anything else, you say Jesus. I remember that old song. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. You know why? Because he first loved me. See, right when I started in that, I felt it's like whatever you're going through, that will calm. It can't stand. The Bible says one day every knee shall bow, whether you want to or not. And every tongue will confess, whether you believe it or not, that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I tell you what, when I get in the middle, and oh yeah, but you're the worship leader. You know to tap into that song when everything's going crazy. No, I don't. My wife be like, you know better. Get a grip. Up there preaching, if they only knew. I got to be reminded too. We got to be reminded. I give you permission. If you see me stressed out over stupid stuff, go, don't hit me real hard, but do you remember sang that song about let Jesus in and make room? I need to be reminded. Tonight, I'm reminding you that whatever you're going through, whatever's on your plate, whatever's on your table, God is bigger and can handle if you would just give him and relinquish, give him control. God is bigger. God is greater. Look, I love coming to church. But when we, like I said a while ago, when we sing, when we worship, that's not a throwaway moment. Don't squander the moments when we come in and the countdown starts. Man, you should already be prepared. God, you know what I have going on. But in these next 20 minutes, God, I give you everything. Don't let your problems and what you're going through rob you of what God wants to do for you in worship. It's not just pretty music and some lyrics with some moving backgrounds. It's about getting in front of God and saying, God, you know what I need. I'm trusting you. He knows what you need and what you want, but he knows more of what you really need. So don't squander those moments. What are we doing when we get into worship? We're magnifying God. When I have a magnifying glass, I can put it up and I can magnify you. I can magnify my situation, my problems. But when I change and move the magnifying glass is in your hand. You have the power to dictate what you're magnifying. Are we magnifying our circumstances or are we magnifying God? Somebody say, God is bigger. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When we worship, what are we doing? We're making the answer and the solution bigger than our problem. We're making the answer, who is Jesus, we're making him bigger than our problem. We're reminding ourselves, we might not be able, but we serve a God who always has been and always will be able to get you out. What are you saying? I'm saying God is able. Whatever's stressing you out, God is bigger. Let it go. Release it and give it to him. All of us got different issues. My issues may look different than yours, and your issues are going to look different. But God can handle all of them together. That's cool, man. That's cool. Some of you need to look at the face of your opposition and declare that my God can save me from this. Well, how do I do that? Whatever it is, you just look at it and go, my God can save me from this, and God will save me from this. That's the kind of faith. Nicole, I saw Nicole this morning at Walmart. I was picking up some fresheners for the church so it wouldn't stink in here. How many knows we know old Walmart? It stinks if you ain't got fresheners in here. So, dude, she was bubbling with excitement today, just telling me, just in the few moments that I had, was telling me all the things that God is doing and how he was turning things around for it. And it was exciting because I remember just a few weeks back, her sharing with me in the cashier line, and she was crying about all the things that was going wrong and not right. And then to hear, well, why? Because when all the things that were going rough, she could have stayed out. She didn't have to come in here, but she knew that God was able to change her circumstances. And now the story changes and flips to go, all that stuff, God's changed it. I'm on the up and up, I think is what you told me. I'm on my way out. I'm on my way. How many want to be on your way out of your circumstances? Then you need to get a I can't stop, won't stop, and you need to get an even if attitude. Even if, oh, he can, bless God, he can, and he will, he's willing to. But even if he doesn't, my faith won't be shaken. That's the part that we have a hard time with as the church. Oh, yeah, God is able. He's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But when he doesn't provide in the way that I think he needs to, whoa, my faith just went. You got to have a faith that's unshakable and unmovable. Time is ticking away, tick, tick, ticking away. Faith, by definition, is being sure of what we hope for. That's Hebrews 11:1. I ask you tonight, what are you hoping for tonight that you're sure of? What are you hoping for that you're sure of? That don't even make any sense, does it? But that's faith. Doesn't make any sense. We're all here tonight worshiping a God we've never seen. We've never seen. Faith says, be sure of what you hope for and be certain of what you cannot see. So what these three Hebrew boys were saying is, they're saying, our God is able, but our God is also willing to come and save us. It's what the entire gospel was written about. It's what the entire book is about. Listen, we'll find everything that we need to know about God when we look at Jesus. Everything we want to know about God, look at Jesus. You can see his character. God, I can't say, but we can look at Jesus. We can look at his character. We can look at the tone in which he did, what he said. We can look exactly how he handled situations. We can look exactly how he handled sin. I've never seen it in the Bible where he ever embarrassed anybody. Ever. How many times we miss that? Jesus didn't do that. If we want to know the character of God, look at Jesus. If we want to know how God handled things, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Point number two is God will save us. How do I get to that place? I want to read that scripture and then I'll close. How do I get to the place where I understand that God can save us and God will save us? It's found in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Dad had this verse up on Sunday. It says, trust in the Lord with all. Everybody say all. All your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your steps. How do I get to a place where I believe that God can and God will? When I get to a place where I stop trying to figure things out on my own and give it to God and he'll direct my steps. He'll direct my steps. Everybody say God can. God will. In closing, I feel like somebody needs to hear this tonight. Whatever you're facing, your God is able. Your God is able. I told you I want to encourage you tonight. Your God is able. Your God is able. And your God is willing. He's willing. Next week, we're going to look at what happens when God doesn't behave. We're going to look at, somebody say, what are you talking about? What do we do when God doesn't perform the way that we want him to? That's what happened to the boys in this book in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What do you do when your expectation doesn't line up with your situation? We're going to talk about that next week. God can. That means he's able. God will. That means he's willing. I asked you the question tonight before we started. What comes out of you when pressure is applied? What comes out of you when pressure is applied? Kelly, will you come help me for a minute? Just get you to hold this mic for me. And just walk with me back and forth. This strawberry represents me and it represents you. It looks delicious, doesn't it? Looks good, doesn't it? That's how you look to him. Delicious. Delicious. All right, let's walk. We work good together. Y'all don't know we've spent 5 hours in the roof of this building trying to run that stuff. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So, strawberry represents us, right? We get saved and the sun comes in. That's Jesus, sunny delight, right? Okay. Oh, I gotta work this out. I thought that was already done. That's not. But when we, I asked you, no, it's not gonna be messy. It's not gonna be messy. But I asked you what comes out of you when you're under pressure. So what happens is when we get saved, the Son comes into us, right? Ooh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ooh, shoot. Holy Ghost done blew out the other side. I'm good right there. So, stems and all, it's all good for you. It's green. God created the earth. Okay. So we get saved. That's all of us in here, right? This is the world. This is what's going on. But we still got Jesus. We're just gonna give Jesus. Put a lot of Jesus in there. Give us all, Jesus, everything you got for us. I don't know what this is. It's just a little bit of something that he wanted to give us, I guess. A little something extra. I told you, gotta give you stuff you didn't know you needed. But, see, all this looks good. It's all delicious, and I'm making all kinds of mess, but it looks good. The reason we're doing that is for the recording so the people know what's going on. But what happens when life happens and you get like a hurricane? That's not going to be the best, but... But see, when Jesus is in our boat and Jesus is... Amy Weber, I don't know how to work this stuff now. It does have a spout, but I'm not. I would tell y'all why I'm not going to do that, but I can't do that. Just hold that for me. Just hold that for a second. That's that spout they were talking about. Let me bow. Now watch this. Go through the storms of life, I'm still good. There should be enough of God in me that I'm able to pass it around. I wanted to be able to give time to pass out more. It's good, right? You pass the green stuff. That was hard to get that down, but track me, watch me. If God is in me, and even though whatever I'm going through, as long as God is in there, then I should still be good, and I should be able to pass God still on to other people. Are you following me? You tracking me? But, Kelly, you're good. I'm gonna make this work. But sometimes in life, I got 4 minutes. Sometimes in life, we go through things that cause us to be bitter. Ever been through anything that caused you to be bitter? Things happen in life we don't understand. We get mad at God. Lemon juice represents bitterness. Somebody don't like me. Bitter. Somebody's talking about me. Bitter. God, somebody in my family passed away. Why'd you do that, God? Bitter. And we soak that up. And then that bitterness comes into our life. This strawberry would not be as delicious as the other was. That Sunny Delight, the Jesus, was sweet. That's bitter. There's a lot of people in this room that could be like this strawberry. If I blended that up and went through the whirlwind of life and I had a bunch of strawberries that I put that in, that would be a very bitter taste. It's important who you're around. It's important how you view the things that you go through in life. It's important that you don't allow the bitterness to come in. You're going to go through things. The Bible says so. But take heart. I've overcome the world. As long as you're doing it with God, as long as you're doing it with Jesus, not allowing the bitterness to come in, there will be a sweet flavor in you. Even though you went through some tough stuff, even though you, just chopped up and just gone through all kinds of hell, even though you went through that, it's still good. You're still good. As long as you don't allow bitterness and the things that come in and come against us, adversities, as long as you don't allow that stuff to come in. And this is how I'm going to close. I didn't even know, but this is it, and we're done. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I promise I had no idea, but this is how we're going to do it. And you say, you know what? I've allowed some things to come into my life. I've allowed some bitterness. I've allowed doubt. I've allowed fear to come in and insert itself into me. I can tell it comes out. Remember what I said? When you go through adversity, what's on the inside comes out. If I was to take the strawberry that I just and squeeze, what I just injected into it will come out. What's on the inside of you? If you're here tonight, you go, you know what? I've let bitterness come in. I've let doubt. I've let fear. I've let unbelief. I've let things come in toxic to my life. And tonight, I want him. Tonight, I want him to extract that stuff. I'm telling you, I promise, don't stand until you hear me out. God tonight on a Wednesday night, not even some massive crusade with thousands of people, not even on a Sunday morning when we're supposed to have this type of a thing. I'm telling you, on a Wednesday night when you didn't even expect it, remember what I said, God has things in store for you that he's prepared that you know not of. And in just a moment, when I count to three, if you say, I want, and he told me this is what he's going to do. He's going to extract the toxic relationships, the desire for him, you're going to have to cut it off. The desire can go, but you're going to have to, there's a part where you got to play. He wants to know, will you let me extract that? Why are you wrestling with it? Why are you stressing with it? Why do you keep battling that thing when he's saying, I've come to give you rest? I'm standing tonight. I got things inside of me that I know is toxic. It affects my behavior. It affects the way that I handle things. And I want God to remove those things. And there may be things that I'm done. And there may be things that you don't even know right now in your mind. But over the next 24 hours, my prayer is that God would reveal to you what are the things. You may have one in mind, but there may be some other things that you're, I ain't giving that up. We're not even looking that way, God. He wants to know, will you let me extract those things? The hurt. The discouragement, the abandonment, disappointed. Will you let him? One, two, three. He's removing. I don't know what he's removing right now. Right now. God is removing that seed, that liquid, that toxic junk away. I want you to just lift your hands. Just put them up. Whether you feel comfortable or not, all you're doing is saying, it's in the spirit, it's allowing those things to go. It has to go up. He's removing those things. Fear, doubt, disappointment, discouragement. God, I don't know. The inability to trust him. He's removing that. He wants to give you an even if spirit tonight. But I'm telling you, there's no even if he does or doesn't. Right now, because you stay in this place, God is removing. He's removing. He's removing. Some of you are doubting right now. Release it and let it go. Don't even think about it. Don't even, but I don't know how it's going to work out in the end. Release that thing and let it go. Release it and let it go. God, we give you, we surrender, we surrender, we surrender things that we have struggled with, things that we have fought with, things that we have refused to give up, that we feel like nobody knows what we're going through. Nobody knows how to even control this situation, but me, I have to do it, God, tonight. I'm giving you, God, we give you this thing. God, we give you this. Now, God, where there's an emptiness, as we're closing, God, where there's an emptiness, where the toxic has been removed, there is a cavity, there's a space there where that thing once dwelled. God, I ask that you would now inject your Holy Spirit into that spot. God, we've made room. God, we've made room tonight. We've made room and said, God, remove this. Now come fill this. Because we know that at the moment that we remove and make space, that it will quickly be filled back up with other things if we don't put a stopper in it and say, God, nothing shall take this spot but you. So God, fill them. Fill us right now. May there not be a void. I speak against any doubt, any fear, any unbelief that this is even working. God, I trust you and know it is so. We stand on your word tonight. Thank you for what you've done in this house. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives as we learn to be more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Speak a blessing over every life, every home tonight, God. Be with Mimi as she's flying home to North Carolina tomorrow. God, keep that bird in the air. I speak blessings over your life, over your business. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Even though I was a little holy terror. Thank you. I love you. And I love this church family tonight. Thank you for allowing me to go 2 minutes over. Some of y'all are like, nah, you went 15 minutes over. You know why we press and push a little harder? It's because the enemy pushes a little harder. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to go down and watch other people go down. When we hold the power to change, I refuse to allow people, when nobody else will stand up, by God, I'll stand up. If that offended you, I don't apologize. I'm serious. I'll be doggone. We hold the power. We have Bibles in our houses, but yet the enemy comes in and creates havoc in our homes. Why? Because we're not tapping into this thing. You hold the keys. You hold the power. Make space. Make room. Say, God, give me an even if spirit. I can't stop. I won't stop. On the way out tonight, just high five some people, fist bump them. Say, man, I can't stop and I won't stop. And I'm going to help you get to yours. Make sure you tell somebody, I'm going to help you get to yours. I can't stop. Won't stop. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Be safe going home. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Don't forget.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.